Our nation has seen some storms recently. The last few months has seen three terrorist attacks, two in London, one in Manchester. And they are difficult to get our head around and to comprehend. Why would anyone in their right mind do something like that? Why would they target a place where they know that there are going to be children and young people there? What sort of mindset speaks to that and says that's okay? I don't understand. And I've had conversations with people recently who've genuinely found all this hard and are asking big questions about where is God in the midst of this. And folk, since the election, I've had some very interesting conversations with people who have a genuine fear about what the future will look like for our country. Someone at toddler group, one of the mums at toddler group, said this to me. I thought, that'll fit in with a sermon, and I went away and wrote it down. It's a crazy mess, she said. Where do we put our trust in now? I thought, well. And that's the very question we're thinking about today. Exactly where we put our trust. And I'm not talking about politics. Yay, you say. Exactly where our eyes should be focusing in the midst of the storms of life. And really, this is a one-point sermon, basically. Jesus. So if you switch off and start planning your shopping list for tomorrow, that's where we should be focusing our eyes. Jesus. Today, we're reminded of those two Bible passages that Ian read. The first from the book of Job, we'll get to him in a minute. And the second story that we probably know much better than those words from Job, of Jesus speaking clarity and peace to the storm and to the bunch of fearful disciples in the midst of the storm. I may have mentioned to you before that I'm not a very good sailor. Mary's looking at me and laughing. I am so much more comfortable on dry land than I am on water. Several folk have tried to get me on their dinghies on the Marine Lake. There is not enough coffee in West Kirby, or should I say gin, to enable that to happen. That is not going to happen. So this may surprise you. A few years ago, in a moment of mental abstraction, I agreed, against my better judgment, to go on a boat trip to Fingal's Cave in Staffa. There I am in the middle. Yes, that is me. Looking slightly nervous. Yes. I thought, what could go wrong? What can go wrong? This is a picture of the sea before. What a pretty picture. Lovely Iona Bay. Peaceful and serene and calm as we set off. I think you may know what's coming next. What could go wrong? There's only a few miles between Iona and Staffa. I thought to myself, how bad could it be? If I'd have known how bad it could be, I would never have got on the boat at all. This is the picture of the waves that I took. Genuinely. I shouldn't have looked at the waves because that made it all worse. The last thing you do if you are a seasick person is to go look and take a picture of the waves. What was I thinking of? So that was a picture of the waves. Not wise at all. And we never got to Fingal's Cave because it got so bad that they abandoned the boat trip. How bad could it be? Oh, well. And I was a very odd colour, unbecoming for a middle-aged minister, of green. And I looked at the waves, and that made it worse. And there's a sermon in there, isn't there? There's a metaphor. I looked at the waves, and that's never a good idea. So I really sympathise with this gospel story of the disciples, that in a small fishing boat, they're not going very far. It's only about 7 miles or so away from shore. And this terrible storm hits. And you can imagine how it must have been awful. They're fishermen. It must have been really bad for it to be documented. And Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, and his friends wake him up and say, "Don't you care that we're sinking?" And we know what happens. Jesus gets up and he stills the storm. In our passage, Jesus presents a way of thinking about faith during a storm. He defines the opposite of faith as he speaks to his disciples. And he says, it's not doubt, it's actually fear. Jesus says to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? It's human nature to be fearful, isn't it? I wonder if we did a little survey of the things that we're afraid of. I suspect some of you will be afraid of spiders. Maybe some of you will join me in not actually being sailors and wanting to go on the water. Don't like going underground either. I've only just begun to keep my eyes open going through the tunnel to Liverpool. Problematic when you're driving. I'm not joking either. I wonder what you're afraid of. Some fear is logical. Some fear is placed in us as a biological response. You know, it's not a natural thing to bungee jump off a mountain. That's a good fear to have because that's a stupid thing to do. And that's our body's way of protecting us. Some fear is logical. Some fear is less so. Fear is a central part of being a human. We're all afraid. One of the deepest fears that I find people have is a fear of death. The ultimate scary encounter from which we do not return. So many people I speak to are terrified of death. That's another sermon in itself. If that is a problem for you today, and you don't know the one who holds the keys to death, then the ministry team would be delighted to speak to you afterwards, or speak to me, and God can help you with that. Anyway, our intrepid little bunch of disciples are in the boat, and scripture says they are going over to the other side. In our story, which we know really well, there's loads of hidden meanings. From the beginning of the tradition of scripture, going over to the other side is always about striking out. It's always about leaving things that are safe and going out into the unknown. And water and storms in scripture are always a metaphor for life experience. And so our story uses those symbols, not just to talk about the disciples in the boat, but also about us and about what we overcome in life. And there's lots of miracles happening in our story. There's the miracle of Jesus calming nature. There's a storm and he speaks to nature. That's astonishing and the storms and the waves cease. Crumbs, that's impressive. Wish Jesus had been on the boat in Staffa, that would have been fantastic. That's a miracle. But there's another miracle about what he does in the lives of his disciples. What happens to you when you encounter a storm? A storm that feels like it's going to overtake you. Some of those things we mentioned earlier. How do you respond when there's an unexpected death, or there's grief, or there's a terrorist attack, or there's a betrayal, or a diagnosis, whatever? We can be pottering on through life, sailing our little boat merrily along, and a storm brews unexpectedly. And in those times, perhaps like the times we're living through at the moment, it's very easy to ask God why. Why us? If you are a loving and caring God, why do we even get caught up in these storms? We may ask, why do you not take us, Lord, to clear tropical paradises? Bali would be nice, where everything is still. Why do you allow these things to happen? Are some of the questions that we may be thinking, and certainly they've been posed to me. They're not new questions. One day we will be safe from the storms. But that day is not here yet. Until that day comes, when Jesus comes again, we are not promised a storm-free life. Nowhere in Scripture are we promised that life's going to be hunky-dory and nothing bad is ever going to come our way. We are not promised, unfortunately, a storm-free life. Until there is a new heaven and a new earth, this is the deal. Bad things will happen to good people. Storms will happen. And even when Jesus is in the boat for the disciples, there is a storm. Storms will always happen. The issue in our story is not the storm. The issue is what we as followers of Jesus do when we're caught up in a storm. And our story says that the disciples wanted Jesus to click his fingers and sweep the storm away. Do you not care that we are perishing? They scream at Jesus. And how does Jesus answer the question? Not by using words. Even in the middle of this terrible storm, he is asleep. He is full of faith and full of trust. I want you to think in your mind about the last storm that you have encountered. Metaphorical storm, you know what I mean. Maybe it's what you're living through at the moment. When life suddenly overwhelms you, how do you respond? When you're not sure if you're going to make it out with your mind or with your soul or your heart or whatever, what do you do? Do you cry out? Do you wonder where God is? What happens to your prayer life? What happens to your scripture reading in the midst of that? How do you respond? And that's where the disciples are at. Panicking, fearful in the storm, because they're human too. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. But he doesn't stay asleep. Awakened by panic, he stands up and he brings calm. Amidst the chaos and the crashing of waves and destruction, Jesus says, peace, be still. And it's when the disciples stop focusing on the chaos around them and begin to focus on Jesus that the storm begins. It's not rocket science, is it? That when we pay attention to the chaos, our life becomes more chaotic. Jesus stands up calmly in the raging storm, the one outside in nature and the one inside the disciples. And he helps them see where their trust should lie. He calms the storm. I wonder if there are some of us here this morning that are going through storms and we have taken our eyes off Jesus. We have forgotten the one who says, peace be still, who's in the boat with us. We heard the story of Job. I find Job a very challenging book. Anybody else? It's a real challenge. He had a fair few storms to contend with in his life. Everything is taken away from him, everything. Everything that gave him security and identity. Everything that made Job who he was. And God speaks to him from the storm of his own life and poses a shed load of questions that are about God's sovereignty. They're about his trustability in the midst of the storm, about God's Velcro ability to stick to Job and to reveal to him that he's in control in ways that Job cannot comprehend. And that gives Job hope. And that gives me hope that even when life is pants, and that's a theological term, God does not leave us. But sometimes we leave him by taking our eyes off him. That God does not get out of the boat. He never does. I love this cartoon. I don't know if you can see it. It's a picture of Jesus walking on the water. And the words say, when you find yourself in a storm, keep close to the one who cannot be overwhelmed by it. When you find yourself in a storm, keep close to the one who cannot be overwhelmed by it. As I said, it's a one-point sermon. It might sound simplistic, but when we start doing it, I'll move on to another one. Jesus says, do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I'm in your boat. I'm not asleep. I'm not somewhere else sorting out everyone else's problems. I'm in your boat with you. I'll always be with you in your storm. If you focus on me and not on the crashing waves, lift your eyes. I've always found that to be true, that when I take my eyes off the waves and look to God, then things work out better. The psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The storms will always continue. But we're reminded that God sticks by us. Through every storm, through every crashing wave, through every panic, through every bereavement, through every illness, through every marriage breakdown, through every whatever it is, he is there. When you find yourself in a storm, keep close to the one who cannot be overwhelmed by it. Amen.